Hey, Get Fox here. Today we have episode number 131, and I'm joined, as always, by my man, Texas. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Voice a little hoarse, but we all right, man. How about you? How you been?
Good. So it's a little horse. It's like a pony, or what?
It's almost like, it's kind of a pony. It's not like a full blown stallion right now. Because if I was like that, I would be on the podcast right now. But we're a little sore, right? I need to drink some tea so I can go ahead and get back
Hell yeah.
my nice radio voice that everybody says I have.
Dude, I'm telling you, your voice right now sounds smooth as silk. It's
Dog, actually, I was one of those quiet storm radios, like coming in dawn.
I love it.
I've been listening to some slow jams.
Tell us the text message of why your voice is hoarse and where you've been the last 2 days.
All right, so the past couple of days, I was up in Denver. I was at Monday Night Raw, and then Saturday, Tuesday Night SmackDown. That's a dumb name. So I was watching wrestling up in Denver because my buddy has some tickets, and it was really good seats for what he paid for. So we sat like opposite of the television camera. So I was on TV a lot watching wrestlers, and I saw a girl legit get a concussion live in person. It was crazy.
Yeah, I think I saw that on the Twitter clip. It was like a she got hit with a shin, right?
Yeah, she got kicked in the face legit twice. And I'm like, I thought wrestlers pulled kicks, but this bitch was like, nah, I'm kicking in the face twice hard as I can. It made me sick. Like, rocked her brain. Like everybody on Monday night, everybody's watching that what was that cornerback or the yeah for the Titans, not Titans, the Buccaneers run to that wall and get a concussion.
Oh
I saw
yeah.
my concussion watching wrestling.
Yeah, what was a better hit?
What was that guy thinking?
Yeah, well,
What was
he was tracking the ball, and the receiver's going with him right into that wall. But like, who's a better
that?
hit, that or Conti getting stiff-armed into the shadow realm?
See, I got to go with the other guy because Kantu was injured apparently going into that game. And so I can't like pick him because he was kind of like brittle as it was. But I guess the other guy, because that's just something you don't see. Like, why are you trying to catch the ball? Like, what are
Well,
you doing?
this is a
Also, how come there's no pads back there? I understand nobody's supposed to run back there, but why we got to not have like anything soft with these players who are moving at lightning quick speed to like run into?
It makes sense. It's kind of like the outfield wall needs to be padded in baseball, and that. So yeah, I think didn't a stadium get sued a couple years back because somebody twisted their knee?
Yeah,
Or was
Reggie
it Reggie
Bush.
Bush? Yeah, Bush.
He won the settlement too. Like he won that contract, or because I think he tore his ACL after that had never been right, and
Yeah.
so he ended up suing the Rams owner or the Ram whatever, and ended up getting like $12 million. So
As you
because
should,
he tore his knee up on some nonsense. That's actually stadiums might need to start being sued because like you got to provide a safe space for your players. I mean, the field is going to be dangerous, but everything else outside of that can't injure them. And it seemed to honestly do that all the damn time, especially in baseball and guys trying to make those ridiculous catches, running smack first into a brick wall.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, this is a mutt podcast, and this would be better for the NFL podcast if we don't do. But I mean, back to Conte. This isn't the first time he's been stiff-armed like that. So the injury, okay, maybe, but I don't know if I buy it. He's still whatever. Let's get on to mutt. We got a very special what?
Oh, real quick. It's kind of funny because like all it's not funny, but all these safeties are getting injured and Eric Reed's still not gonna get signed. Such a shame.
Oh, Eric Reed's still got, wait. Well, yeah, he's still solid. Anywhere, Steelers could use him. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people think we use him, but everybody keeps getting injured. They keep bringing up guys that you haven't even heard of. We're bringing in this guy. Like, we're comfortable with this Duke. We saw him. It's like, okay, cool, thanks.
I know where you're going
Anyway,
with it.
yeah,
I'm not gonna question
I
anymore.
just threw a dead fish on your lap just because of
Yeah,
that. I'm sorry. All right, it's
I'm
who our
not gonna.
guest.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
So this guest is making quite the wave in the Madden community this year. I think it's a we're the first podcast to get grab him. We're
Yep.
a
Best
world
mutt
first.
follow on Twitter. The
Yeah.
best mutt follow on Twitter. If you guys are not following this person on Twitter, you guys are missing out on some amazing content.
We will refer to him as Leaks, aka Mutt Leaks 19 on Twitter. We'll link both that and Texas's YouTube and Twitter in the description below. So, Leaks, how you doing?
Hey, good Fox. I'm good.
Good. That's good to hear. So we're gonna run through the agenda here quick. Then we'll get right into it. So on the agenda today, we're gonna talk a little bit about Leaks. You know, how long he's been playing Madden. What's he? How long he's been interested in that? Like in leaks and computers and stuff and all that jazz in the internet era, as old man Fox says. So we'll also talk about the leaks overall and what he's seen. The solo battle modifiers, and we'll also talk about solo battles. Innovating this week and changing up. We'll talk about the red chems. We'll talk about the code. Talk about PC hacks, bots, ultimates, play now team, and legend leaks. We'll talk about custom game patches that he's putting together, and then we'll talk about why does Madden hide things, and why does it take somebody like him to basically find it for the community, and why can't they talk about that? And then Texas has got a good question about what the craziest things he's found in the leaks in his opinion. So top of the show, Let's get into you. We're not gonna try and dox you. We're not gonna ask you for your name. We're not gonna do any of that. Just your social security number, if you could, right now. All right. Hey, how long have you been playing Madden for?
I've been playing Mutt for about 4 years, but five years, but I've been playing Madden for maybe 10 years, around there.
All right, gotcha. So what got you into last couple of years into like getting leaks and stuff in Mutt and looking at codes and stuff?
Well, in regard to the leaks, I got a couple things sent to me in 17, 18. Some pretty cool stuff, promo leaks, different cards, different stuff. So, I was always aware it was out there. The editorial kind of blew up a little bit, and a lot of people started looking into it, and that's where it kind of, snowballed and more people got involved, but always had an interest in it.
I gotcha. I gotcha. So, why do you do leak? Like, what's the motivation for exposing the code in Madden? Like, are you doing it for retweets? Are you doing it just to help the community, or why are you leaking stuff to us and showing us the code behind the scenes?
Well, with the code, it's twofold. Part of it is I like to know how the game works. I play it a lot, so it's always good just for my own personal knowledge to know this guy's got really high strength or this guy's got really high weight. They might be better in run blocking, or just knowing more about how the game works, I feel like it makes you play better, or it can. And there's a lack of transparency in general that I think causes a lot of issues and confusion in the community. So it's
Yeah.
twofold, but it's the basics of it.
Yeah, I got you. So, like, have you ever tr did you ever want to be like competitive man, like in learning this stuff for like maybe a competitive edge? Is that ever crossed your mind as motivation?
The competitive scene is part of it. There's a lot that goes into that, as I'm sure you know, but just in general, like for instance, a guy will get a really good shed, or a guy will block someone really hard, and I may say, why that happened? What was the root cause? So it's good to be able to look at the code and look at different things about maybe memory, or just look at different areas and try to glean what you can from them to give you a better understanding of how things are actually working.
Yeah. Why do you think the studio, like, why is EA so, like, secretive with their shit?
Well, with a lot of it is confusing. It's a really complex core. There's a lot of legacy code built on top of it. So it's hard for us to go through. So I would imagine that, developers that haven't been there for maybe quite as long probably have similar issues. The way that a lot of the pieces interact doesn't always make the most sense, if you understand.
Yeah. Have you Texas, do you have any questions?
Well, now you're going to keep going.
Oh, no, I mean, if you got anything to add, like, Texas, why do you think EA is so secretive with this stuff?
Well, because I was gonna go to like the next point. I was gonna bring that back later on, because I feel like they're secretive because like they don't want to get in trouble for like false advertising. So if they just don't say what stuff is supposed to do, then they can't like be held to the expectation.
That's
So I'm looking
true.
at this abilities list that I was gonna bring up later on.
Yeah.
So they claim Out My Way gives you a boost to whatchamacallit, like user block shit, blowing up runs. But according to this list, it doesn't work. And so, like, if they were to come out and outright say it does work and there's proof that it doesn't, then they'll get in trouble. So, because then people will want refunds for spending stuff on training. So, until EA gets like the testing and proves that it doesn't work, they don't want to like address it until that day comes, because it just opens up them to litigation if people are buying something that doesn't actually work.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. Like, so that way they can just easily change it later. Like, so like remember when Rex came on the podcast last year? He talked about 91 zone not changing through the whole year. Like, is part of the reason they don't do that stuff is so that they can change it later? What do you think, Texas?
I think that's, well, I would say yes, just because like if they come out, like I feel like that's the best bet. Like you, if you don't announce something's wrong with it, then you can change it. Then as opposed to saying this works and then having to fix it right away. Because if nobody knows that it's broken, then you don't got to worry about it, you know. And so yeah. If you say something works, people are gonna be curious and want to test it out. And if you put that seed in people's head and it doesn't come back, it bites you in the ass, then you got to actually spend resources to get that patch out right away. Yeah. You know? So I think that's probably why they're just so quiet about it. They don't want to be out here doing any of that.
Yeah, and like Mutzboy, you found some stuff in the last patch that they didn't talk about. Like they said last year that they're everything that goes out, everything that changed in the patch is that they're going to tell us. And you proved that not to be the case. Like why do they not tell us? I mean, maybe I'm just asking the question again. But like, can you talk about that? About how like you found something in the patch notes that or the patch like files that they didn't put in the notes?
Sure. So this year. For file decryption extraction, we're using some commercial mod tools. Anybody can go download them and use them. It's pretty simple. The main one that most people are using is Frosty. Frosty Tools. It was originally a FIFA mod tool, but it's been repurposed for different games, and now it has support from Madden. So that's what I'm personally using. And essentially, what we do is we take the like a specific patch, say 1.07, 1.09, gold.
What current patch are we on? Can you tell people?
1.09. Okay. We should be on.
Okay. Sorry, go on.
So essentially, though, we take the core and we export it. We dump it because the way that you see it in the tool, it's not very user friendly. You can't really diff it. It's not in a readable format. Exporting it isn't always so easy. So we do some tricks and we come to essentially a bundle of XMLs more or less that is pretty much most of the core interactions of the game. Now, how we do comparisons across patches is I take a patch from 1.07 that we dumped to a human readable format that we could export, and I compare it to a patch from 1.09. I diff it. And usually the changes are pretty small. 1.07 brought maybe 6 to 8 changes in the code. And the last one only brought maybe 3 or 4. It really wasn't too much.
That's strange because
essentially.
Okay, yeah, go on.
Essentially, we get them to a format where we can run an analysis on them. And then we just see what files are different and see what changes are made. Each game mode, though, has its own unique file, which helps a lot of times in determining what something's actually doing. And I'll go into that more later. But
okay. We'll talk about that later in the podcast, is what you're saying? We'll under the custom game patches?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That sounds fine. So basically, with the patch, then, so you can compare the notes. Like, can we get into that now? Like, that's really interesting. Before we lose the momentum on that, like, what do you mean the different game modes? Like, are we talking like arcade, competitive, and simulation?
So, yeah, every game file that's in this attribute system, what we view as essentially the core, has 4 files for the most part. There are some exceptions, like wide receiver DB doesn't make distinctions across game mode. There are a few of them, but for the most part, every file comes with 4 game mode files. And they differ. So in arcade, the spec catch tuning may be tuned really high, or this element may be tuned down, or some things may be outright disabled. So being able to compare across modes really helps us get a better idea of what's going on. And you get a competitive mode, you get an arcade mode, you get a sim mode, and then you get an unnamed mode. The file has no naming convention. It's not arcade. It's not sim. We're really not sure what it's used for. It's probably for regs or franchise, something along those lines.
That's weird.
It's not used in Ultimate Team.
So Texas, you've often said like different modes play differently. Would it be like squads, or what do you think, Texas?
I mean, it has to be everything, because a lot of these modes don't play the same. Like it why are we barking, dog? But no, I feel like a lot of the stuff, because like we have proof of like modes not playing the same, with just certain things that work in this mode doesn't work over here in this mode. So that would explain a lot of the main reasons. If it kind of makes us feel a little bit more like right in a sense, because like last year we squads did not play the same throughout because I think the six connections compared to like just playing one-on-one, it felt different and it played different. Hmm. And the same thing can be said about this year as well. And they're like, no, everything should be the same. But no, everything's not the same because certain things happen more so in that mode than it probably should in other modes. So I guess that's like kind of proof in the pudding right there.
Yeah, and I mean, like, even that with like earlier this year, we had solo battles that were like on half speed and they're still saying competitive, right? So there's definitely more tuning behind the scenes than we see or they tell us besides for the three modes. So, Leaks, anything to say about like the solos being different or anything else like that? Is that what are you kind of thinking?
Yeah, it depends what mode the game's being played on, but it also depends what difficulty it's being played on, because there are certain things, curves and different sliders and different stuff that are affected by the game mode, pass rush timers. I could go more into the specifics, but a lot of the core interactions and different variables that happen are in some way tied to game mode. So I'm not surprised that you're seeing a lot of different variables there and kind of having different experiences.
Yeah, definitely. Like, do you want to go into a little bit of detail on that? Could you give us some examples?
So like something like arcade, say, the nano prevention, for example, may be turned off in arcade. I'm pretty sure it is. I'd have to look at the attribute system to tell you for sure, but a bunch of things like that. So not all of the code is just variables with a value. A lot of it is true false statements. So like, for example, in say competitive, you might have something that says quarterback can trivial break sack. That might be a true, but on arcade, that might be a false. So it's more than just the amounts that are changing across game mode. There's entire mechanics that are enabled and disabled. Even down to something like tackle battles, which somebody posted recently that the tackle battles are disabled now on competitive. So even little things like that, there's a lot of minute little differences that really add up across modes.
Yeah, I mean, that's like super significant. Like a big thing they put in the game. Was that last year? Was that 2 years ago? But yeah, it's strange. Like, I understand this is a very complex game and EA puts it out and like it's like a whole bunch of spaghetti code and stuff, but still, I mean, like, shouldn't they're part of the app because they want to make this game competitive? Like, if it was just like, okay, here we're simulating the NFL, you know, play it for fun, that's one thing. Like, then I could see them, you know, kind of just like doing how they do. But if like they're making it competitive and people are trying to, you know, basically make their living off of trying to win tournaments off of how these guys act and how they play, like, shouldn't it be more transparent? It just seems weird, but I can see the kind of work that you're going through. I've seen some of the stuff you've done and it does seem like a lot of work, but it doesn't feel like it should be, you know, we shouldn't have to use a third party to figure out how this game plays.
Yeah. We discussed that last year with, was it Rex?
Yeah.
It was one of the Madden developers where like, why we have to like do the testing ourselves. It seems like y'all can just provide it for us. And that way we know.
Well,
I don't think these guys know themselves about how some of this stuff actually works. They don't want to spend resources doing that. So I think Mutt Leaks existing is really good for us because me and you can do this, Gut Fox, but we don't have like the actual factual proof that he's providing. So like, I think this is much. It's a nice space in the middle because EA doesn't have to do much work and he can do all the work and I guess reap the benefits from it.
And the knowledge skill gap, right? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It lessens that because now we know what we have to, like, what's to expect for certain ratings. And, like, when it comes like that, like, block shed chart you put out, like, what's more important comes run stopping. We always knew it was block shed. Always knew. Now we have proof.
Yeah. Hey, Mutt Leaks put out. Everybody, well, like I said, it'll be in the description below so you can see that. Like, block shedding is block shedding. You said something earlier about strength and weight. Can you tell us what does strength and weight do in Madden?
So that's a little bit complicated. So essentially there's core calculation. So there's a calculation that would determine like your base chance, let's say, of something happening. And then there's side calculations, things like modifiers and penalties and all types of other things that go into play. So on something like the run blocking, your core chance to win an engage is something like 22% strength, 17 or 18% weight, and then 60% ratings, which we assume is run block, possibly run block footwork or power, but I haven't seen anything to support that one way or another. Essentially with the weight, it's a little strange how it works because it doesn't scale one-to-one. Like if you're 300 pounds plus on the weight, you get the full bonus value, that full 18% or 22%, whatever it is, you'll get the full bonus value at 300 pounds or 301 pounds. The strength scales a little differently. That's pretty much one-to-one. So, you know, a 95 will give you more of a bonus than a 90. But on the weight aspect, a guy that's 350 isn't going to play much different than a guy that's 300. There are some other side calculations that take the difference in weight into account. That's mostly things like hit sticks and strips for the most part. But
I get you.
The main thing that I took away from that with the blocking is that's only on the initial engage. That's not going to control how good they pick up a block, how good they recognize a specific formation or anything like that. That's just controlling the initial engage, the pop on the line.
But it also depends on like if they're going out of jogging speed, right? Because then that's when impact block and stuff comes in. Because I'm seeing safeties chuck tight ends and tackles, it feels like this year. Like even cornerbacks are chucking tight ends, it looks like. So like that's also, you got to factor in like lead block versus impact block on the defense too. Do weight and strength play into that at all?
So now for lead blocking, how lead blocking works is that's a bonus. It's a very strong bonus. So when it gets activated, you get a very heavy weight in the lead block. So they're very, I don't want to say likely, but they're much more likely than an average player if a lead block triggers and they have a high lead block rating or they have the lead blocker chem, they're going to be much more likely to seal that block. As far as it playing directly in the engage formula, I haven't seen that. Like I said, it's, looks like it's a modifier on top, and that would be in motion. So that would be circumstantial. If a specific situation occurs, that might trigger, but that's not going to be in the base chain.
Yeah, because in years past, when Clickwood has done testing on strength and weight and stuff, and other people have done it, I've watched their videos, and I've done a little bit of testing myself, and I put up a video on myself because I feel like I'd just be doubling their work. It felt like strength and weight mattered very little compared to run block versus block shed. And like we had Clint on the podcast earlier this year, and I asked him why don't strength and weight on the defensive line, why aren't they pushing back offensive linemen? He said it wouldn't make our game look good. So basically strength and weight on that get engaged formula, and then like block shed added in there, like that only works for the offense and pushing the defensive lineman down the field. Is that something that you've seen?
So we think that formula is used for the defensive line on the direct engage matchup. Now, the reason that we say that is that there's not really any other formula that we can find that's used for that. And it's also referred to as ratings, not run block or power move or tackle or block shed. It's just a ratings factor. So I think on the initial engage, it probably is a direct compare of the 22%, the 18%, and the 60% offense versus defense. But as you said, the disengage is 100% block shed. So
Yeah, because even when I did it, I made this is 2 years ago since I tested it. Did I test it last year? I don't remember if I tested last year, but I know for sure 2 years ago when I looked at it, it was I put 160-pound zero strength defensive tackle out there with 99 block shedding, and he held up, and he didn't get pancake, he didn't get lifted off his feet and pushed onto the ground, and then with the block shed. Then I made somebody 400 pounds with 99 strength and like one or zero block shed, and he got picked up and put on his ass. So it's interesting to see. I don't know if they changed I should probably rerun that test this year, but you're saying it does factor into the formula, at least the get engaged, not the block shedding and getting off the tackles or the guards or center. So,
right.
All right. Texas, any questions?
I was just talking about like a lot of the rating stuff. Like, so we know trucking this year's ass.
Yeah.
Like, could you tell us like what like do you know what happened to trekking this year from what it was last year? Last year was good, wasn't it?
Last year was amazing. If it weren't for Secure Tackler, trucking would have been just freaking OP as fuck.
It was amazing last year, but this year I'm noticing, like, even though weight and like all this stuff, I can't like run over cornerbacks. They just still like
they trip you up. Yeah, like Eddie George goes backwards against some corners.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
The thing with that is real player motion kind of changed that up a little bit and added a lot of minute game mechanics to the run game. So with the real player motion, the trucking, I mean, I haven't seen much in the code. There is a section for real player motion, but the trucking doesn't seem as effective when you consider the other elements of RPM that you can chain, maybe a juke or a spin or move more fluidly. The trucking just doesn't work out well in that, in the grand scheme of things.
Mm-hmm. So you haven't seen anything specifically change from year to year outside of real player motion?
So on 18, the way that we were able to dump it, we don't actually have the variable amounts. We have the variable name. So I can't compare currently, I can't compare a function from 18 to 19. I could tell you if it was there, but I can't tell you what changes were made as to the value.
Okay. All right. I guess that, so it somehow changed. We just can't really like exactly know. But if we want to learn what it is on 19, we can see that. That makes sense.
Right.
I got a general question. Did you like when you first started, I saw on this, you first started on the subreddit before making your Twitter account. Did you get a lot of resistance at first, to your leagues?
Generally, people are afraid of it affecting the market. People are afraid of abuse, which is an obvious concern. But it's a good mix. I mean, you're never going to get the whole crowd to be on board, but it's generally positive feedback, I'd say. More so now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like people are more happy about it because, like, it hasn't really – it saved them more coins than anything, like, with looking at a lot of the stuff. Like, because now, when I look, like, before I built my team, I go look and see what you posted and make sure I can, like, okay, so this is what's more important. and when I make my videos, I kind of reference some of the stuff I see that you post. So it kind of – I think it's more helpful than harmful. I think, like – because last year, 91 Zone, I think when Chaos put that video, I think that dictated the market. Everything.
Oh, yeah.
Like, 50%.
Remember up until he put that video out and then put his video out again? Like, he was arguing with Zan. Zan said 90. I think Rex said 90. Like, the EA guys said 90 because that's what they thought. Then he showed it was 91, and they're like, oh, I guess we were wrong. So these, like, people that are actually testing, like, contrary to what EA says about things, you got to actually see it on film. I saw the same thing with, like, Clickwood back in the day and some of the testing I did, some of the – with Mayamo Bear, some of his testing. Like, people are always very skeptical, which isn't a bad thing on the internet. You know, there's a lot of liars out there. But sometimes people, like – it feels like they're just skeptical for no reason. Like, it's like, oh, just did you watch the video? Like, especially Clickwood's run stuffing a couple years back. It's like, did you watch his video? Like, they weren't doing – like, the guys with the – it was completely different what you saw with the block shed versus the strength. And people refused to make it. Even when Clickwood did, like, 100 – tests on one specific run, and he showed if you have the block shed you get this many yards, if you don't you get this many versus strength and so on and so forth, and like it just far and away easily showed that you want the block shedding or the run block rather than the strength. So I do notice, like, there's nothing wrong with being skeptical, but sometimes I don't know, it feels like people are afraid of information almost. Would you say that's true, Leaks?
Well, I think a lot of the lack of transparency is for marketing reasons. If you knew exactly how every stat in the game worked, how every trade in the game worked, how every red chem in the game worked, you wouldn't waste your time trying out players. You would look at the stats and the traits and the reds, and you would buy the guy that was actually going to play the best for your specific team or scheme or need. So I think there is a decent marketing component in that.
Like, I get what you're saying. I know Texas Laugh, he's probably got something to say. Just want to say this first, but like, still, I think that's ideal, though, like, to get the perfect guy for your scheme. But you're saying there's a certain magic in the NFL and the players, like, oh my God, this Dawkins is actual Brian Dawkins from real life, not just what his stats say he is. So it's more like, that's kind of like what traits are, right? There's just kind of like magical catch-all. Like, the people are like, oh, this guy just plays good because he is good for no real reason. I don't, nothing in the stats say it, but I just feel like he's played well for me, but I can't pin it down to one thing. Would you say that's true? It's more marketing, like, and the players that, like, I'm playing with my favorite guy and he plays well for me.
Yeah, well, I think they want a certain amount of skepticism to be there because aside from the fact that you would pick the best player, the market would swing a lot more. Like, for instance, if they just came out and said anyone under 90 man plays like shit, or anyone under 90 zone is going to play really bad on a deep ball, nobody would buy those cards. So the market would fluctuate quite a lot.
But isn't that good fluctuation? That's like
So
that's an informed consumer making an informed choice.
right, but there's other things that go into that, like pack value and different things that they can't quite as easily control.
I gotcha. Texas, you wanted to say something?
No, I was just like, that's a good point he made by like a lot of the reasons for marketing, because they can't just be like, all right, these are what's important, because then like they're not going to sell those cards. People don't want to buy packs as is anyway, most of the time, because it's not like nothing really to pull for. But it seems kind of weird that like we're getting trash content just because, and people will always make these. Oh, it's a good budget player. No, it's not really a good budget player. It's because he has high speed. It means he's a good budget player. But you got to look at the other stats, what this guy can do for you besides that. And I know GutFox made a good point in his video today talking about like Team of the Week golds and how none of these cards are pretty much usable except for like obviously like the guys with high speed. And so when it comes to like low tier cards, a lot of them don't even get close to like hitting some of these ability thresholds to make them even worthwhile on your team. So it just seems kind of, that's a good point he brought up about like how they, it's a marketing standpoint, like they can't, it's like you said, say this card's gonna suck. They'll give you that, oh, this card had a chance to play well because of what the speed might be.
Or like maybe he had a big week, so now he's gonna be on your team. Like he did well for your team this week, so let's put him on my, Steelers theme team, and like he's gonna ball out because he did a good job for the Steelers this week. But then you look at the stats, like, oh, T.J. Watt's only got like what 80 something power move or something, so he's definitely not gonna play like that, like he did this previous week. Like, would you, Texas? This is kind of like a general question for the game. Would you want something more that, like, I don't know how to individualize a player, but like it just makes them better on the percentage, kind of like I think 2K does it with badges or something, but like some sort of percent chance modifier that's just not stat tied.
I don't really want that. I want players to kind of play more like themselves. So it just like, so if a player is like in Madden, if a player in real life has really got run blocking, Madden will make him more balanced. So this should have, it did away with a lot of that stuff. But so if an offensive lineman gets like a team of the week or a football outsiders card, he's not going to be like weighted in that particular category. He's just going to be an upgrade from the other card. I feel like they should probably, instead of like giving them badges and making these guys specific, like, well, making these guys better because of badges should probably make them good at what they did that week to get that card.
Oh yeah, that's another good point. Like specializing team of the week, we talked about it with Jake, and he wasn't about that lifestyle though.
No, it makes sense because I get why, but it makes a lot of sense because even like with veterans, like why are veterans like not even a veteran is weird because I feel like they should have better ratings since they're wiser, but they're like kind of terrible cards.
They're just like plus twos or threes on their
Yeah,
old
they're just
cards.
like not, they're not really upgrades, and usually the veteran, because it's usually a flashback, so it should be better than, it should be better rating wise and other stuff than the other person. But it's just like a plus one, two upgrade. It's like it's not really like the point of this. So it just seems kind of counterproductive what they're doing with a lot of the ratings this year, because it seems like they don't have like, they're just copying paste what they did before without like any rhyme or reason, except for obviously with linemen and some receivers specializing in certain like spec catch and stuff. We're not seeing more balance. It's more variety now. You build your team a little differently this year, but it's still not where it needs to be.
Leaks, looking at the code, do you think there needs to be like more, like, all right, for everybody that doesn't know, like, I know thresholds is like a four-letter word in the Madden community and everybody hates them, but it's how they code the game, right, Leaks?
Yeah, I mean, I think that they're important to a certain extent because it lets them more differentiate. Like,
Really? Different, like,
say a card comes out earlier in the year and is really good. Without the thresholds on something like zone, say a cornerback, if a 93 speed corner drops and that 90 zone threshold isn't there, and he has like 87, that may be an issue. It affects balance. So the thresholds, the players that are capable with the chems or without the chems of hitting the thresholds, it lets them kind of more balance things and limit what you can do with certain cards. that makes any sense.
No, it definitely makes sense. Like what I've argued with zone coverage since last year, when we learned about the 91s, like after 91 zone, nothing like there's no difference in the cards. Like they're the same guy. Like Tex is talking about personalization. That's what I'm kind of trying to make my point here is like, why don't they have more thresholds? Like why doesn't zone step up 1-to-1? Like I know it goes a little bit better in the random chance this year. I hate the random chance, by the way. But like they'll with every plus one zone on that card, he'll react like one, I don't know, hundredth of a second faster to a ball coming out of the hand. Like something that it's like 1-to-1, you improve the scale rather than like once you hit this number, then all of a sudden you got like a 95% chance at reacting perfectly out of the hand. Like, why can't they do it that way?
With zone, it's kind of twofold because there's a timing element that controls how fast they break on the zone dependent on the rating. And then there's a win chance or like a break chance element. So the break chance does scale. So say you have 95 zone versus 90, you are going to have a slightly higher chance of breaking on the ball, but you shouldn't be breaking much, if any, faster.
So you're saying like it's hard to explain. Like I've seen your graphs and stuff, and I understand what you're saying, but it might not like. How do we explain this better to people out there? Like, the break chance gets slightly better on the like the there's either there's the 99 break, right? Like where you perfectly
Right,
break
which is
every time.
guaranteed break,
What's that?
correct.
Yeah, guaranteed break. So at 95 zone, you get that guaranteed break only as you get that a high percentage of the time, right?
Yeah, well, it's not going to be guaranteed until you hit 99, but it
Yeah.
scales up. So
But they don't react any
90,
differently if they hit that
yeah.
like reaction number.
So essentially, how it's going to work is it's a coin flip, and then based on the timing value. So like it's a coin flip more or less to determine if it breaks on the zone, and
Like a
then the
night, yeah.
timing value determines how fast it breaks on the zone.
So the
Now,
timing.
when you get up into the 90s, when you get up into the 90s, it's not so much of a coin flip anymore. 90 zone breaks a very high percentage of the time on most of the routes. But
Okay.
the timing's not going to be affected.
Okay. So wait. So the timing difference between 90 and 99, what's that?
I don't have an exact value in front of me. It is pretty good. I ran some in-game testing with it too. It's noticeably faster. With 90 plus, they break fast. With 99, the break can be a little glitchy. So I think that could be a problem later in the year.
Okay, so that's what kind of people go to. So there's a bit of different. Like, there's both the random chance on a good break and how fast they break itself. So it's like
Right, they're
twofold.
two separate things.
Interesting.
Correct.
All right. Well, that's a little bit better. I'd prefer that. I would prefer them to knock out the random chance part of it. Just make them better react the higher your number is.
Yeah, make it incremental, but I don't
Yeah.
know how many good. Is it in frames that they have to do and all that stuff that they said to us? Like, has it be frame?
Yeah, frame based because they do it in 30 frames per second.
So that's the reason why they had to have these kind of thresholds for that.
Maybe. Leaks? What do you say?
The random chance is pretty strange how it works because you're really not gaining very much, even though it does scale between 90 and 99 until you hit that 99 and you get that perfect guaranteed really fast break. You're not gaining very much, if anything, in between. So they could add more thresholds, like they could make a 95 threshold, a 98 threshold, whatever. But the issue with that is every threshold is going to have values and boosts associated with it, so it's more work. Like, for example, if you take the spin thresholds, those actually play a different animation or modify the timing on the animation. So when you get to that on something like a spin, when you get to that top tier, it's pretty much working as good as it can work. So for them to add more thresholds at this point on the current release, they would have to redo the whole scale because they're pretty much already at the top end at 88, 90. So it's possible, but it would be a lot of work, and I don't know if you guys would like how the changes actually play out in game.
Yeah, I get you. I mean, like right now, like almost every single top end back with a couple exceptions hit that 88 spin threshold. So going forward from here, we're just stuck with the same spin all year, right? Isn't that boring? Like February, we're using the same spin we use in September.
Well, a lot of these things, spin is the same way with zone. So with spin, it's multifaceted. The tier does hard cap. So 88 to 99 is going to be the same tier on the spin move. However, there are other little side calculations like acceleration out of the cut or fake chance or different littler things that can add up
Like
that
the chance to get the
do have.
animation from the defense and them to get faked out, right?
Right. So that's not actually going to control the animation or your guy. That's going to have more of an effect on the defensive player.
So what's the defense's countermeasure to that get animation? What stat fights against the spin move to not getting faked out? If you don't know, it's fine.
That's
You
a
could look for it
tough
later.
one to narrow down. There are a couple things that go into it. Believe it or not, things like awareness and things like that do have a lot of effects in the smaller side calculations, like the reach tackles or certain running mechanics. So hard to really put a fine pinpoint on it.
Okay. All right, that's fine. All right, Texas, any thoughts on spins and everything going forward? Texas?
Oh, you said me? Okay, it cut out there. I was like, I just heard spins going forward.
Oh yeah. Any
I
thoughts
mean,
on that? Yeah.
I would love for them to actually like kind of increase it because I just feel like that's gonna make more of a fresh game. So players that we have in August aren't gonna be top tier spinners and outside of speed in like what December and in January. So I like just keeping the game fresh. Even Fortnite kind of changes things and tweaks like ratings on guns and stuff so that something's not overpowered. And they can, I wish Madden would do something along the lines like that. So that way it can keep players actually having to upgrade their team outside of just speed. Because this last year, all it was just you will buy a player because he was faster. That's the only reason why you bought a player. Because nobody, everybody played the same.
Yep,
So if
after
they were to do
91's,
that, then. So if they were to just drop more players that had new thresholds, so spin goes from 88 to 95, you got to buy that new halfback. You got to buy the new Barry Sanders. Otherwise, Barry Sanders is going to be spinning you out user manually all year long from 89 power up.
Yeah, I like w would you just I think like 'cause currently like what are the thresholds right now? Let's just use spin for example. Leaks, do you know this? Is it like 75 and 88 or what's the thresholds for spin? Do you know off the top of your head?
I can go pull them up one second.
Okay, because
It I believe spin is 88, and then all the other ball carrier moves are going to be 90, but I'm going to go.
okay, all right, I'll just talk while you're talking about it. So like what I think Texas and I kind of agree on, like if we're seeing A tier spins here in September, like for people that only play the game for like a month or two, that's cool. But for the people that play it year round, at least to the Super Bowl, maybe later into the summer when we get those golden tickets and stuff, like wouldn't it be cool to get the new animations? Like, oh my God, this new card in January, February, this guy finally hit the 96 spin. Like back when like Madden 16, where 96 route running was just amazing. We finally got it later in the year, and it's like this is the A tier. Like these are the premier cards, but now we have the premier cards here in September. So like later in the year, there's nothing really to like build for besides for speed, like Texas says. So like kind of makes the other stats irrelevant. That's our biggest issue with this game is that once like maybe it works for regs with these low end thresholds, but for MUT where we're continually building through the whole year, I would like them to make the top tier from the start of the year. I don't know if they could do it going right now, but for next year at least, make that top spin threshold like 96. So that way, when we actually get a top end card later in the year or like something glitchy, it's like, oh my God, that's an animation I haven't seen. Like this guy is just crazy. You're gonna have to get like I don't know some guy to, somehow to stop it. But anyways, basically being wild later in the year rather than just like oh a humdrum another running back he hits those thresholds like what's his speed and that's all we care about, right? Leaks, what is the threshold for spin moves? What are the thresholds?
Spin the top one is going to be 88. I had the chart up a second ago. So it's 88 through 89, 78 through 87, 65 through 77, and 0 through 64. However, on the first two tiers, the two lowest tiers, the bonus associated with it is the same, so there's really no distinction between 0 and 78.
Okay, so really there's only like three different animations for spins.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay. And then, I mean, I know there's steerable spins and left trigger spins and whatnot, but interesting. So three tiers for spins. Like, would you be against them adding like more tiers for that to give us more animations on that? Like, shouldn't that just be like more in depth in the game? Like, 'cause there are more than, I mean, does it need more than that? What do you think?
Like I said, the issue with adding them this year is the way they did it. They already pretty so like that say you have 89 spin, that spin is getting like a 0.1 value associated with it. In this case, the lower the value, we think like the faster the animation is playing, let's say. So it's already pretty much very close to as good as it's going to get. So to for them to actually add additional thresholds or something like that, the changes are either going to be very small or they're going to have to change the scale, which is going to affect how the cards that we already have play, which is going to cause a lot of issues. So
Yeah.
I'm not really sure they could do that this year.
Yeah. Like I know we had technical troubles when we were discussing it, but let's discuss it again. Like I wouldn't mind them adding another level, like at 96, to make that card like even better. Like go like 0.05 or something, make it even faster. Like make something like glitchy high, like route running in Madden 16 at 96 route running for the good number. Like I feel like 88 is fine for like regs and stuff. But I think for Mud, as we build our teams through the year, I think we need more levels to get to. Texas, what do you think? Or do you think they should just, you know, take their current system and then change it?
Well, the adding of it would be kind of great, but I feel like they should probably change it from here on out going forward because having a lot of these top tier thresholds in September is not ideal, in my opinion. I do like that you can kind of like just cheese your opponent, but I think maybe if they are not going to change it and just maybe add, like you said, add some more stuff to it. I didn't even think they could, like that. That's another option they could do as well. So that way you're actually have a reason to upgrade. So I'm all for either or. Just the system we have right now does need to change because it's not long-term sustainable.
Yeah, I agree. For it, I don't think it makes sense in Mutt, but yeah. All right, let's move on. All right, let's talk about solo battles and the modifier. And Leaks, you found the modifier. Do you want to explain that?
Yeah, so essentially, regardless of what difficulty or game mode the solo battles are played on, it's going to be a 10-50 split on the modifier. So you're going to have 10, the CPU team is going to have 50. Now we found out recently what that modifier is actually controlling is a set of sliders. And the sliders themselves have effects on a lot of things. I'm going to pull it up right now, but it's everything from blocking to awareness to punt accuracy, QB accuracy. I mean, pretty much everything that you could think of is affected in some way. So it's like a regular game of Mutt, or if you're familiar with CFM, CFM, your sliders are tuned all the way down and theirs stay at a normal 50. Normally, in any other game mode, game type, difficulty, the sliders are always 50 for both teams. They do not change. So that's actually how I found the modifiers. So I was playing solo battles and a lot of wonky stuff's happening. Guys are sliding through my line. People are getting pancaked. I'm fumbling. And I think we can all agree it doesn't really play like a regular game mode. You can't really, it's not easy to compare it to like squads or head to head or even a regular solo. It plays a lot different. And the only thing that I ever saw that played in a similar way was I, in prior versions on legacy hardware, like the PlayStation 3, were able to change that modifier, give the CPU team like that 10, that 5, or that 0 value, and give us 100. And we saw a lot of similar effects to what you see in solo battles, guys getting just bowled over, people fumbling, shanking throws. I mean, the entire game is tuned in their favor.
Yeah. So solo battles, we know, cheat. Texas has a nice little video on that. So, have you ever seen anything where they adjust sliders for head to head? Have you looked for that? The equalizer, as I think it's called. Have you seen Have you found any evidence of EA changing that kind of stuff behind the scenes to make teams like play more equal?
Well, there is something called use equal teams. I will tell you it's not used in MUT at all. I'm sure if you play regular Madden, you're familiar with it. It just equalizes the stats a little bit more. It's not used in MUT, or as far as I know, any regular competitive head-to-head game in any way. And like I said, as far as the modifiers, that's really the main point of global control. If they want to cause some massive split in gameplay between two teams, the modifiers are generally the easiest thing to touch and get it done with, which is why they use them for the solo battles. I haven't ever seen the modifiers change in head-to-head. Now, it's possible there is some influence at runtime, but I really don't believe so. From what we've seen, it's a 50-50, and that would be tied to like what people call like a dynamic difficulty adjustment or something like that. We can't find anything to support that at all.
Okay. All right. Gotcha. All right. So if you do, though, you'll probably make a stink about it, right?
You'll definitely hear about
That's
it.
good. That's good to hear. All right. So let's talk. I want to just talk about kind of like off the leaks thing for a second. I want to give props to. Yeah, I was gonna. I might do a whole video about this. I don't know. Maybe I'll just leave it on this podcast. I'm giving props for innovating on solo battles this week. Texas, kind of neat what they're doing. I think this is a good first step for Madden and for MUT specifically, and basically them deciding like, hey, maybe we should change things up for our users week to week. This is great, like between the promo type of like entertainment for the community, in my opinion. What do you think, Tex?
I don't know, because I feel like it's good for coins, but I feel like this is to your money. I've got my tinfoil hat on
This is what?
always. I feel like they're using all this data that they're getting to like kind of make this mode more harder. Because like I understand they gave us a bunch of coin. People have theorized that maybe they're doing this because they want to test it out. Maybe because FIFA's coming out this week, they want you playing Madden, which makes no sense, obviously.
No.
But what if, because like there's certain plays people run in this mode that EA probably knows, but they want to see how crazy it is. And so, like, to get like a lot of the rushing yards, you use Wildcat. So, what if EA now all of a sudden makes the CPU not come out and engage eight next solo patch, solo battles update, and they come out in just regular coverage? Wildcat's not going to be as effective, you know? So, I think they're gathering a lot of data. But I do like the fact that they're giving out a ton of coins. Basically, it's 100K, like if you just get ultimate, so just basically win.
Yeah, all right. Texas, are you arguing for overpowered plays in the game of men?
Well, it's not overpowered. Wildcat's easy to stop. Just
Yeah,
saying.
against the computer is what you're saying.
Yeah, the computer just runs one play. They either run strong safety blitz, they run like engage eight, or they run something else. So I
Yeah,
think EA is trying to
like a
catch
man
all this
blitz.
data. Yeah.
Here's
So that
the
way they can like figure out how to like make this more hard, because I don't this is nice of them, but I feel like they're gonna tweak something in the next time, like next time I play solo battles.
I'm not so sure that's accurate, but you know, what do I know?
I
The thing is,
mean,
like,
they did it with the field goal block. People were doing the field goal block, they automatically auto cools, and you get a user pick, and they changed that fast.
yeah, because that's kind of an exploit, isn't it?
Yeah, it was an exploit. I'm not saying it wasn't an exploit, but I'm saying they made it less cheese, let it less cheese fest. I think they're trying to like get people who aren't cheesing the game to get top 100 and give them
Is
coins
that
at least,
wrong,
because a
though?
lot of the
Like,
guys are
what's wrong
getting
with
all the
that?
coins. I'm not saying anything's wrong with it. I like the cheesing of it. These things cheese you. There's so many clips of people just getting screwed in the solo battle stuff.
Yeah.
So I mean, cheat CPU if you possibly can, but I think EA's tired of seeing the same top like 10 guys that like 5,000 more points than everybody else because they're doing something that they don't know, like, and I guess they're trying to figure out.
You want to know why EA has to make their computer cheat us? It's because of the cheese plays, we cheat them back. Like the title of my stream the other day was "Let's Cheat Solo Battles." Like that's what we've been doing. That's what they want to make their AI better or their game better, more like real football, so that way we don't have these exploits. And it's not so much, I don't give a damn about exploiting the CPU. That you could really, you know, I don't know, fucking do whatever you want to do. But like for head to head though, I've been preaching them for years to use fucking data in their head to head analysis to see what plays are overpowered. Like if a run's getting 12 yards a play, that shit needs to get nerfed like crazy. So I see what you're saying. I don't believe it because I don't think EA does any of that shit. Like, I don't think they look at data at all. Like, how many times we preach to him? Like, we had Rex in the podcast, like, hey, you guys take a look at it. He's like, yeah. I'm like, oh, really? He's like, yeah. And I was like, okay. So it's like, there's like, I like, yeah, like, I was like, really? He's like, yeah. I was like, huh.
You sure?
Because
it's a safe space. You don't got to lie right now if you don't got to lie. It's a safe space. Just tell the truth.
Because, like, there's these plays I know gain like 15 yards a rip, and I'm like, really? So it's, I don't know. I don't believe that conspiracy, but maybe it's true. But, like, what, again, like, if EA knocks the cheese out of their game, dude, sign me right the fuck up. Let's play some football.
Right? I like that. But, yeah, this is a good thing, though, because, like, this, I like that they're innovating. That's at first, I should say it off top. I like that they have a new mode in the game. Maybe they'll do this for weekend league. Weekend league blitz. We got to play like four games and you get rewards. Right. Like, that would be, or five games a day. Yep. So that way they can kind of like get people that can just do it one day a week. Cause like, I'll play weekend league if it's just one day a week. I'll tell you that right now. If it's five games, six games, one day, I'm here.
Yeah.
I don't fight doing 25 games. That's too much.
Hell no. Yeah.
So maybe they'll start doing more events like this. Maybe we'll start finally getting stuff that we should have had like in the past year.
Agreed. So I do hope they continue on their innovative streak. And like I talked about for years now, we had Jake on the podcast. I think the first time he came on, I said, hey, we should do special events for head-to-head where you like fuck with the physics of the engine. Like hire Leaks here and let him fuck with your game. And like have Red Kems be like super overpowered as fuck some games and like or some like. It's basically like a tavern brawl mode where it's just like random shit happening on the field. Have it like casual 2 minute quarters for like some small prize. Just kind of like add fun to the game. But anyways, hey, talking about that, you know, Leaks here. Do you want to talk about your mods? And you did talk a little about your mods and stripping the battles of the mod, didn't you? Do you want to talk about like Red Chems and that at all then?
Sure. So on the Red Chems that are broken, it's out my way, under pressure, footsteps, the stiff specialist and the truck specialist. So we didn't get to test them all yet, but out of the ones that we tested, what we were able to do was we were able to take the value that they were using, which was a hard zero, so you weren't actually getting any bonus. We were able to crank it up. Now, finding a reference to what we're actually going to crank it up to is pretty difficult because, like, for something like Under Pressure or Out My Way, we don't have anything to go off of. But for something like Stiff Arm or Trucking, we have the fake chance on the Juke and the Spin Specialists to go off of. So what we're able to do was we're able to take a 0.05 boost and apply it to the spin or from the spin to the stiff and the truck. And it seems to fix the chems. We were also able to tweak it up really, really high, where throwing a stiff arm will pretty much throw a guy off of you. If you time the stiffs properly, you won't get tackled. So we're relatively confident the values are working and tied, and that there's really not anything else going on in the case of the stiff and the truck specialists. So I do have a patch that fixes those. With the footsteps, I do have a patch that fixes that. Footsteps was a little bit more complicated because really doesn't make sense how it works. It's a very small boost within a very small radius. So I did make it quote unquote work in the way that like in the way it works in arcade or sim. I just ported over the values, but you still may not see it be very effective. Now on O and Under Pressure, I did add values for them. They should work in the patch that I have. The issue is, like I said, I really didn't have anything to go on, so they could be overpowered, they could be underpowered, they may still not be working correctly, but we're trying. And with the frosty tools that I had mentioned earlier, it gives us an ability to more so see what the variable is actually doing, because we can modify it and then run some testing in game. So I think that if the Reds don't get fixed sometime soon, you'll probably see either a community patch or something of that nature from somebody.
Well, a community patch, you wouldn't really be able to play online then, because EA checks it against their, you know, your regular patch, right?
They They actually don't. It only gets checked against the other player. So if whoever you're playing against is on the same patch, it will work no matter what mods you're running. You could straight up run
Is
Madden 19 Tecmo Bowl, and as long as you're both on that mod, it'll work.
that's great. I
So,
like that. So it's not for PC though, I would assume, right? Not for console.
yeah, the issue with that is the consoles aren't modded to a sufficient extent. So for the moment, it's PC only. It could be applied to consoles. The tools for the editing of like the files and the archives really aren't there for consoles. That's only PC only on the support. It's possible, assuming they get hacked, but for now, all that is PC only.
So this is kind of like what the NCAA people are doing with the PC version of Madden. Is they're kind of like rewriting the code like that.
Right.
So
I have been in contact with them, and I have looked over what they're doing. It's going to take a while with that NCAA project. The assets aren't really the easiest to work with. So they want to make quite a lot of teams, a lot of rosters. That's a long-term project.
Yeah,
But once
or a
again,
lot of
would only
people.
be on the PC.
Well, that'd be kind of cool though if they can get it out like, I don't know, 6 months from now even. All right, on to our next topic. There are some, I would say, hot rumors about macros, aka bots, on the auction house of the PS4 version. Is there any on the Xbox One version? And leaks, what do you have to do with this? And what can you tell us on how will EA fight these bots, or should they?
That's kind of open to interpretation if they should, because there's positives and negatives to that. As I'm sure you saw with the CAPTCHA, you have legitimate players, people that aren't using any types of scripts or third-party tools. You have people being inconvenienced by these CAPTCHAs. So I don't want to say that they're bad, but they definitely need to rethink how they were implemented, because it shouldn't be affecting real users to the extent that it is.
Are you talking about the bots or the captures?
The CAPTCHAs. So those are what they're doing to try to combat the bots. The CAPTCHA system has been in place since the game came out. It was just recently turned on, as far as we know. With the bots themselves, they're possible on both Xbox and PS4, but when you write like a really complicated script or a macro, it's generally platform specific, because you have to link some of the feedback. You do pixel color checks, image detection checks, depending on how you set your bot up. A lot of that ties to the button icons, which change across consoles. So say you write like a really complicated script for PlayStation 4, you could run it on an Xbox One, but it would require a lot of tweaks and changes in many cases.
So you have done this, is that because you released a bot on your Twitter account a few weeks ago? Is that the thing that's running wild right now?
Yes and no. What we kind of did was that this type of stuff has been possible through remote play for a while. But the issue always was we didn't have Xbox worked out, and we also didn't have the platform synced. So basically what we did was we figured out a solution for Xbox, and we made the Xbox solution match the PlayStation solution. So assuming you don't do any button checks or anything complicated, it's just inputs, there's nothing exotic or fancy going on, you can take a script that runs on a PS4 and run it on an Xbox One without an issue, because the bindings and stuff are going to match up one to one across consoles. Now, as far as people abusing the scripts, they're not using the ones that we put out. They could be using pieces of the ones we put out, or have taken ideas from different things that have been posted. But how we think that, I'm not going to go too in depth into it for a couple different reasons, but how we think those market bots are working is they're essentially multi-box and in sync. So the one bot will, like, say, post a card. The other bot already has the filter set up, is searching, and essentially gets an alert as soon as the card is posted. Now, we do think that a lot of the activity is vendors or coin sponsors. Obviously, there's a little bit of a gray area, but it's like I've seen people posting EA's seeding the marketplace, EA's price fixing this card. That's not accurate. There is some stuff going on. Like I said, I don't want to get too into specifics and hope that more people don't try to attempt to do this, but there is certainly potential there, and it would explain a lot of the market activity we've been seeing. So it's something to keep an eye on. I took down the scripts that we posted, kind of took another look at it because I also heard some reports that things are getting passed around, and because they're EXE files, there could be malware associated with them. There's a lot of concerns aside from even in-game implications. So it's something that we're going to have to take another look at before we touch on again, because we really don't want to make it too easy for someone to blatantly real-world trade, essentially.
Yeah, get a bot on the auction house and have it take every single snipe. Because what happened with other games where, like, say, botting happened, and, like, say, take a look at what happened to Madden Mobile. Take a look at what happened in the FIFA marketplace. It started putting in price ranges. That's FIFA was kind of the fight, like, coin sellers and stuff. But, like, with Madden Mobile, they completely took away the entire auction house. And it's basically you can only buy and sell from EA. So, like, there is no auction house anymore. And that's due to a few reasons. But bots are one of them. So I think, like, bots are. What's we're looking for? It's they're really
Evil?
dangerous for an open market like this on.
Yeah, that's really what the issue is. There's a lot of potential for a bad actor to write. Like think about it like this. They could even write a script that gets passed around that has some type of hidden activation that spends all your money or buys a specific card off the auction house after it runs 20 cycles or really anything that you could think of. So there's a lot of potential for abuse in a lot of different areas.
But like I don't yeah, that's something I don't care about. Like if people are trying to like if they download a script onto the machine and they're trying to cheat the market that way, like I think they should get burned. I'm fine with that. I'm talking about like the auction house health in itself. Like I think
Well,
what's it, go on.
the thing is, depending on how you write the bot, you're not guaranteed snipes. Like, so what these scripts are doing in relation to the auction house is increasing your odds, like very slightly. So say you normally make 200K an hour sniping, you might make 250 or 300 or even 400 on a really good, a really peak time, but
That's a
you're not going to
lot.
make a million an hour.
Yeah.
It still needs for all those tools to work to their maximum potential for actual like snipes and not real world trade stuff, but if you were actually just trying to generate coin, they're more of an assistant than a full auto. Like you still have to know how to snipe, what to look for. It's just going to help you a little bit.
Well, I mean, like the bot, you can just program into the bot, like, hey, search these filters, and repeat searching over and over, right? And then, like, your bot will be able to. What's up?
That's the thing with the vendors is like most of the scripts that go around aren't really very complex. We have done a couple that use pixel checks, image checks, different types of feedback, more exotic stuff. But generally, the bots that go around, like for either private groups or that get posted on forums, generally they suck. They're really not very complicated. The ones we posted did have some fail safes in them, a couple checks to make sure you're in the right area. It's tough. The problem is with the coin vendors and coin sellers is they can throw a lot of money behind these scripts. So they can actually hire top-end programmers or people that work with these automation tools, and they can get like professional scripts built out to their specific needs. So that's where the problem's coming from, isn't really the hobbyist. It's the people that are putting a lot of backing into it.
Interesting.
Yeah, Texas.
Have you? Because I was going to install your script about to get a gold, get a silver player pack, but Gunfox is like, you might get your account like locked. So have you had
Nah,
any? No issues?
You're not going to get banned. We've been running these scripts in some form for quite a while. The auction house bots are kind of new. I touched on it on the sub about a year and a half ago that, you know, that the potential for it was there, but the backbone really wasn't there yet. There was a lot that needed to be done as far as the compatibility and the code. To what Godfox was saying, though, as long as you have like a top-end machine, it's connected over Ethernet, and it's running on a pretty decent computer, you could script the whole game. I mean, the potential is there. It's just, if there's going to be enough time, resources, and money to pay or entice those developers to want to make like a flawless auction house bot or XP bot or any of the other ones that you've seen. So it really just comes back to the money and the time. The hobbyist scripts are useful, but they pale in comparison to what the vendors are running.
Yeah, gotcha. With the get a silver player pack bot, I was talking to Texas about this. I said it's not a good idea to have a bot on your machine, even if it's like just inputting buttons from your controller, because like EA can recognize a bot for the same inputs for 12 hours in a row, because a human's not going to do that, and you do have a chance of getting banned for that.
I personally don't expect any bans from any of those scripts. And the reason for it is all the scripts that I put out use a randomized delay. So they're not running at the exact same interval. This one might take 15 seconds on this cycle. The next cycle, it might take 13. The next cycle, it might take 8. It's not impossible for them to detect it. There probably is some things they could do as far as flags and firmware, where if it's being broadcast through like remote play, there's probably some way for them to tell. I'm really not too sure, but as far as the inputs coming from the remotes, we use input mapping software. So to the remote play client or the console, it looks like you're pressing the buttons. It doesn't appear that the keyboard presses are what's controlling it. Now you can even program the input programs, the input mapping programs, so that you can account for dead zones on the sticks. So I think it's unlikely, based on how it's being done, that they would be able to flag it easily. Obviously, like you said, if you ran it for 12 or 16 hours, you could have a problem.
Yeah. But
the core of how it's working, it really does appear to be coming from a remote. And aside from whatever check they could do on remote play or whatever's triggering CAPTCHAs, which, by the way, we think repeated inputs are triggering CAPTCHAs, I personally haven't seen them yet. I've played with a couple scripts here or there, ran them for a couple hours, different things, and I haven't gotten a single verification box yet. So I'm not sure if that ties to the random timing or...
Well, I'll tell you what EA is doing. You know, so they got your account, they got you, like, it's the wire all over again. I saw this in season 2. They put your account as a don't cancel account. They don't capture your account, cuz they just want to see your bots in action. They want to stay a step ahead of you. As we've seen with the solo battles, they legit know every single YouTuber's gamer tag. Like, they're putting out, like, very first week, they put out, you know, Coinseller's gamer tag. I think it's to send a message, you know. They put out my team on solo battles. Like, I've never told you my team name. How do you know what team I'm running, huh? Like, they did my team name. I don't even have my account name, and they put out my team name as Guy, because that's my team name in game. So they put out, like, you know, Wheels, X Ryan. Like, so I'm just saying, they know what we're doing, everything we're looking at. So you might have that do not cancel flag on your account. Do not capture.
It's certainly possible. Other people have also ran them, though. Nobody has had a problem. I've never heard of anyone getting banned or even actioned against.
It's going to be one large sweep. It's one large sweep. They're going to take them all down at once. I'm telling you. This is the classic cop show. You know, you sweep them all out. It's like The Godfather, when they decided to consolidate the New York market into their... they shot everybody on one day, right? So I'm telling you. It's a classic.
Sound like a crazy person.
I've seen it in plenty of media before.
Well, here's the thing with that, though. I don't know exactly how much they're going to be able to differentiate. So they probably could flag bots, but there's a legitimate risk the way it's being done now with the repeated input checks. Or if you are actually going to ban against those accounts, there's a real, like a really large risk of banning real players who aren't cheating or botting or using any types of tools or macros. So they probably could detect it, but if they could, it's hard to say whether they could guarantee that activity was occurring. Like you said, there may be some strange pattern on their end that they see, but to actually confirm that it's from a macro, with the data that we see them getting, looks pretty difficult.
Well, here's the thing. This is EA, and they've banned people for doing sets in their game before. So I think it's EA is ban them all, let their excellent customer service help out people who were unlegitimately banned. So that's kind of their, it's like, shoot them all, let God sort them out kind of deal with EA. So I would say, I personally, this is what I told Tex, this is what I tell everybody. I wouldn't fuck around with bots because it's just like what happened in Hearthstone. Like these bots ran rampant that were running these decks online, and they all got swept up. It took a while, but they all got swept up on one day. Everybody got banned, and then you saw a lot of complaints on the forums, like, "Oh, I got unfairly banned." It's like, "Oh, really? You got unfairly banned the day they did all the bot sweeps." So you'll see a lot of that when EA decides to drop the hammer, and so that's why I recommend not fucking around with bots unless. Like I said, you're willing to take that risk, then go ahead and do it. It's America, do what you want. All right, next topic off the bots. We got some stuff to get through. We don't have a lot of time left. You had an Ultimates Play Now team. We got some Legend leaks. Can you talk about the Ultimates Play Now team?
Sure. So in Madden 25, I think it was, they used those legend teams. There was like a Canton Greats and maybe another one. I don't remember exactly what they were called, but essentially when they made the legends and the elites rosters this year, there was a third roster called the Ultimate. It was either cut or it's unfinished. It could be future content. We're not really sure. It does look like it's actively being maintained. But the big thing with it is there's actually player models and stats built out for a lot of guys that aren't mentioned anywhere else in the game, like on the other legend rosters. There's a lot of assets associated with players and even sound clips for some of the guys. So I think it's probably something that's coming rather than something that was cut. But once again, hard to really tell.
Yeah. So like, because this is something we collabed on with Legends and stuff. We found their game file and their assets for guys that they have in game. And clearly, like, I think a lot of guys that we found in their assets aren't going to come out in game, right? Like, they don't even have the rights for them. So it's weird they have them in game, but they haven't released them. Like, it's kind of like a hot coffee situation for anybody that remembers Grand Theft Auto controversy. Well, God, that must have been more than 10 years ago now, where there was like a mod in game. But it wasn't released. Somebody had to mod to get to it, as a scene. So they got like pulled up in front of like I don't know the Senate or something, to talk about this. It was crazy. But anyways, it's weird that they have these art assets in game and they wouldn't release them, right? Like they did this work to put them in game. Is it kind of like they're just waiting to sign these guys and then they'll just make them live? Or do you think like a lot of those guys already are signed and we're just waiting for them to come out?
Well, in regards to the first asset leak on the Legends, the original Legend leak that we had, some of those definitely aren't currently signed just due to the sheer volume. There's like hundreds of Legend or currently retired players on that list. So there is something more going on with them. However, with the Ultimates, like I said, the roster is being currently maintained. It does look like it's in use. Interestingly enough, there's a lot of new additions. That was one of the first things I checked. Like you have guys like Carmichael and different new additions that were new to Madden last year. So it's definitely being actively maintained. What the plans actually are for it is hard to tell. But I would say that for the most part, anyone that's on that Ultimates list probably comes at some point because, like I said, it looks like that was either cut or is planned. So I don't know why they would go through the trouble of generating assets and bunching them together on a team if they had no intention of acquiring the rights, so they didn't have them.
True. Texas, what are your thoughts on the whole legend leaks and ultimate rosters and stuff? Texas?
Okay, so I can barely, Discord's weird, right? So I heard you ask the question, but I didn't know you said in front of it. I just heard Legends roster and all the leaks stuff. So I figure if EA is doing all this work to put in the Legends in the game, like they have to come out, because why would you even waste time and resources making player builds? And you said audio sound a certain thing. Like, why would you waste your time doing that if it's not going to come out? And so maybe their hope is to get these players signed in the next couple of months so that way we can get them in Madden, or trying to be proactive. But I feel like EA doesn't do the work until the work's there to be done. You know, their track record kind of
like, ain't that the truth?
Yeah. Work last minute. So I don't think that they would do all that extra work if they didn't have a plan for these players being in the game this year.
Yeah, I do feel more confident with the Ultimates play now and those players than the Legend leaks that we just saw, like the art assets that they actually have in game. And we talked a little bit about, let's move on and finish this up because we got to let you go. The custom game patches, we talked about that a little bit. Texas had a question before the podcast. What do you think is the craziest thing you've found in your exploration of Madden Code?
So, probably, to be honest with you, the red chems, because the way that they're broken doesn't really make much sense. Like, to give you an example, the stiff arm and the trucking red chem, that's set to zero. Now, they already went out of their way to make both of the variable names start with move master. It's move master break tackle and move master fake. The move master fake is that 0.05 value that I mentioned. So the move master break tackle, which is what's used for the stiff arm and the trucking, is at zero. There's literally no reason for it to be at zero. I've put it at 0.5. I put it at 0.5. I put it at 0.1. I don't see any game breaking developments or changes where, you know, it would be zeroed out because it doesn't work or it causes some other issue. It looks like somebody either forgot or they implemented it and never actually assigned a value to it. Because like I said, we were able to give it a bonus value. It does work. It doesn't cause any problems. And it's definitely bricked right now. So I think that we kind of deserve, if whatever testing they do on their end comes to the same conclusion, I think we kind of deserve an explanation as to how that happened. Was it an error? Did the teams not properly coordinate? Because that's a pretty big issue for you to be selling a red chem for training, which is essentially acquired with cards that are acquired with coins or in many cases points. It's an issue for you to be selling them. They don't work for seemingly no reason. Like I said, it would be more understandable if turning it on caused some other problem, like they warp through guys or, you know, cause some unintended glitch. But from what we see, they're set at zero for no reason.
Strange.
That's legit false advertising. So because they addressed it, but they didn't really address it. We're not gonna get anybody addressing this, because when they fixed footsteps, they didn't even say it was broken to begin with. I don't know who relayed the information that footsteps was broken for them to fix it, but then they dropped it again and they said they fixed it. But like, in your research, footsteps doesn't work in competitive head-to-head, so it's one having on your player.
So in the patch notes, I know we talked about those before, I didn't go too in depth. The thing with the notes is they're quote-unquote correct, but the changes aren't always in that patch. So like, for instance, in the 1.09 notes, there's something for pass rush aggressive. I think it says like pass rush aggressive will work, whatever, won't work as good against the run, or however they worded it. That change actually came in the 1.07 patch. Somebody missed it and they included it in the 1.09 patch. The change is still the same. Didn't change from 1.07 to 1.09. So I think that the teams that are doing the notes aren't coordinating very well. And they think that patches, you know, things are in the patch that didn't make it into the patch. They think that things got cut from the patch that made it into the patch. I don't think that there's really any indication that they're trying to be deceptive with it or that there's any malice behind it. It's just a miscommunication issue. Usually the changes do come eventually. Like, I found it very interesting that they said they fixed footsteps, but we don't see that in the code. So that's something to look out for, maybe in the next patch or the one after, to see if that gets carried in. Because like I said, usually when they do say they change something, it is either coming soon or just got changed. They're not always accurate to the current release, but the changes they describe do usually come.
I really like that you're calling them out and like making sure that they are like, you know, properly communicating and they're not you know, bullshitting us, and they really need to be on their A game, because you'll catch them if they aren't. So that is, I think, this and the leaking and showing the stats, I think this is the single best thing that has happened to the community in 19. I think this is, like, you showing this stuff, it's been huge. It's been amazing. Getting this knowledge to us when we never had it before. I personally appreciate it. I know it's tough, and sometimes it's tough looking at the code, and sometimes, you know, sometimes do you feel like sometimes you're right and sometimes you're guessing at things, or do you feel pretty like 100% confident in everything you put out?
Well, this is what I was saying to you before. With PC, it gave us a good opportunity. Now, not only can we see the variables, but we can tweak them and look at the effect in game. So say I see something like that weight formula. If I wanted to test it out, I could set 100% to the ratings and perhaps try to narrow down what rating it's actually tied to or what group of ratings it's actually tied to. The testing is pretty in-depth. Obviously, there's only so much we can do in many cases. We only have access to so much. We actually got very lucky this year that, like I said, we have Frosty in place, so kind of extracting the patches and viewing them is easier than it should be or it was in years past. The main thing with it, though, is I wouldn't say we're 100% correct, and I think your podcast with Prello touched on it a little bit, that sometimes we're missing context. But I actually, after I heard that, I did go back and I looked, and we do see hints of what they're saying, that there's more context to certain things. There's additional pieces in how it's working. But the issue really is, we had no idea how it was working in the first place.
Yeah,
so
100% agreed.
We certainly could still be missing little pieces here or there, but it's really up to them at this point to clarify if we have something wrong or have some way to communicate to us that, hey, you know, this is how something is actually working as opposed to what you guys thought or what the community thought. Because currently, before this year, everybody was pretty much guessing, aside from what, you know, we were told by the developers. So it's, I don't want to say it's a fail safe, but it's a good way to check and see that the changes that they're saying are being made are actually being made.
Agreed.
And like I said, there's always context to consider and different things, but at the end of the day, I think it's a good fail safe.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, definitely. Like to have us as a community see a lot of things, and hopefully EA. I think they've gotten a lot better with their like morning streams and whatnot, and communicating to us more on a daily basis. And I hope they are more open with this going forward. Maybe they have some developers on those to share some of these things, kind of to communicate more with us about the game itself. And because you're gonna tell us one way or another. So EA. Hopefully, with that, they're also expanding their communication, not necessarily in reaction, but definitely on top of what you're doing. So I really appreciate it. Texas, any last words or questions or anything before we wrap it up?
Nothing. I don't have any other questions. I just, brother, hopefully EA will eventually kind of in a need to kind of be, I'm going to say be more transparent, but just like, feel the need to combat your ratings and start being more, like, to start posting more of this stuff, because people do want to know about this, And that's why you're getting a lot of followers and a lot of retweets on your stuff you're posting, because people are interested in this aspect of the game. And EA just seems to not want to disclose this information because it's, they like being secretive for no reason. I mean, the reason is not to get sued, but I get you. Go ahead.
Ideally, we wouldn't have to do this stuff. Yeah. I mean, it takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of resources. But due to the lack of transparency, it's really necessary. Ideally, they would just tell us what everything did. I mean, Gut Fox said before, you know, are you guessing on some things? There are some cases where we don't have code or data to necessarily 100% tell us what's going on. Yeah. And, you know, we do the best we can. We pull from a lot of different sources. You know, we talk to the competitive scene a lot to get a gauge on how they think things are working. We look at memory and different, you know, legacy parts of the game, different assets and different things to see how things work in combination. But at the end of the day, we can only do so much. We don't have really many debugging functions or developer tools. It's kind of limited in that aspect.
Yeah, but even so, like,
on some of those things, you're going to need EA for more clarity.
Yeah, I mean, even so, you've definitely got the attention of EA, and it's obviously they're paying attention to you. Everybody else is kind of paying attention to you. You've killed it. You know, like Texas said, the community is really kind of latched onto it. So we appreciate all you do. Keep it up, Leaks. Obviously, everybody follow his Twitter account. It's amazing. He's on the Discord, Mutsploit there. So I'll plug that. It's all in the description below. Check out Texas's YouTube channel. Of course, rate us whatever star you think we are on iTunes. If you like us, 5. If you don't, 1. Same upvote, downvote on the video for likes and dislikes. But, yeah. Thanks, Leaks, Texas. Thanks for another week of greatness. Leaks and all.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, I'll catch you. I'll catch you later.
Rate us, review us. Bye.